You know, there's a way we think that our own life should go. Get a job, get married, buy a house, have healthy children, retire at 67, celebrate your 50th wedding anniversary, die peaceful in your sleep at home at 95. Life doesn't quite go like that, does it? Instead, there are droughts and floods. There's a housing crisis. Petrol has gone sky high. We end up with health problems, cancer, or involved in an accident. People we love die. Finances get rocky. And maybe even there's family breakups in our family or death of loved ones. God doesn't say these things are good, but God makes a promise. God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God. Not that everything is good, but God causes everything to work for good to those who love him. We grow through rough times. Right now we've had a bit more rain. The rain's been pretty shallow, and we need rain to go deeper so that the roots will go deeper, because when the summer comes, the plants need deep roots. And so it's that dry period that forces the roots deeper so that when it gets really hot, they can get where the water is. And that kind of happens in our life too. Challenges force us to grow, to mature in various ways. So Joseph, and that's who we're talking about today, was shaped through adversity. He learned compassion. He certainly wasn't compassionate early in his life. His life didn't go according to that sort of plan. Joseph grew up in a dysfunctional family. I remember one time my brother and I were talking, and I was talking about how we were in a dysfunctional family. And he sent me this cartoon. And the cartoon was a massive stadium, huge. And it's the convention of people who come from functional families. There's one person in the crowd. The whole stadium is empty. Okay, so no parents are perfect in life. In this case, his father Jacob had four wives and 12 children between the four. You can imagine the fights that you could have in that situation. And sadly, Jacob had a favorite son, and Joseph was that favorite son because he came from the favorite wife, and the wife had passed away. So all sorts of reasons why Jacob was particularly connected to Joseph. And this is a passing on of generational sin, because his parents had twins, and mom loved one, and the father loved the other. You know how we pass on the bad stuff from our family sometimes? Yeah, it happens. We leave home going, I'm going to be better than my father, better than my mother. And then you wonder, did we really make it? So Jacob is repeating the past as he has a favorite out of the 12. There's Joseph. And the Bible talks about how Joseph would bring a bad report to his father. In English, that sounds like he's saying they did bad things. But actually, the Hebrew means it's a crook report. It's actually not a true report. So he's taking what the truth is and just twisting it. So gets his father to be more against the other 11 and more towards him. Just keep twisting it. That wouldn't happen in your family, surely not. So he's giving his bad reports. And Joseph, his dad actually uses him to spy on his brothers. So he actually makes the whole situation worse. And then he gives him this wonderful robe. The Hebrew only uses this word once, and it's for a princess's dress. So he's wearing a princess dress. That means most men wore a brown robe, ended knee length so that you didn't have a dirty knee, right? You didn't make a hole in it. And brown so it didn't show the dirt. What's he wandering around in? He's wearing a big fancy robe like this, and it's down to his ankles, all embroidered. I'm not going to do any work. You wear something like that, you're not doing any work. So everyone can see by the way he's dressed, this kid doesn't do anything for our family. And then God gave Joseph some prophetic dreams. So the first dream he had was that his brothers and he and his family were out binding wheat. So they're taking bunches and tying it up. And then, you know, you stack it in that stook. Okay. And then everybody's sheaves, thank you, sheaves bend down and kind of worship him. Woo, he's feeling good. He has another one that the moon and the stars and all his brothers and sisters and his parents bow down to him, and he tells them about these dreams. So I'm wearing the fancy robe. Worship me, please. So he sees, while this is a gift from God and it tells him something about his future, he sees it as he should be the center of everything. Joseph was spoiled, self-absorbed. How would you feel if your brother treated you this way? Thank you for lying about me. I'm so glad God, my father punished me. His brothers hated him, as you can imagine. And yet God used this situation to reshape Joseph. So, Jacob sends Joseph to go spy on his brothers again. They're about 104 kilometers away. So that means he's going to be sleeping in the bush for 3 nights to get there. How does he dress? Princess robe. He's going to be sleeping in the bush in his princess robe. You see these kids in the grocery store, don't you, in their princess robe? Okay, this is Joseph in his princess robe. His brothers see him coming in the distance. They are just so angry. Pop sent him to go spy on us again. They grab him, take his hated princess dress off him, and throw him into a pit. It's actually, when it says a cistern, we think of it as an underground rainwater tank. So it's cut out of stone, would have a way that water, when it rains, the water goes into it, has a narrow at the top, and then is like a bottle cut out of stone, and the water should stay in there. This is dry at this time, although it probably had some mud in the bottom, but basically dry. And they're planning on just leaving him there. They've got the robe. There he is, naked in the almost just has a bit of light above him. And you know, he's crying, he's jumping, and they just laugh. In fact, they go off and eat and can hear him distressed. Suddenly, the favorite son is in terrible trouble. Naked, no food, no water. How many days will he last? He can't climb out. His brothers are laughing. Pops, 104 kilometers away. Dad's not going to help him. He promises, I'll tell Dad. That's a stupid thing to say. He switches to, I'll never, okay, if you'll get me out, I won't tell Dad. It still doesn't work. Finally, some traders come by with their camel caravan, and they decide to sell him for as a slave. 20 silver coins. It's about 2 years' salary, so $200,000. If you think that he might work for 50 years, it's a bargain. It's about $5,000 a year for your investment. So slaves were not cheap, but a long-term investment. He's only 17. He'll get a lot of years of work. And they take him to Egypt. That's another 600 kilometers farther away from where he grew up, from his father, and sell him as a slave. And yet, Joseph learned through this adversity. For 13 years, he was a slave. Joseph had gone from being the favorite son, to now he's the slave. From being served to now having learning how to serve others. I was a waiter, and you'd learn how, if you want, well, in America, most of your pay is off the table. You learn how to make people happy. More coffee, sir? So he's learning from let everyone worship me to how to serve others, care for others. Instead of being the center of attention, he's learning life doesn't revolve around him. Instead of being the liar, his owner's wife lies about him, and now he is the victim of lying. And he ends up in prison because he is the victim of lying. He goes from having everything to loneliness and hardship in prison. And in those lonely nights, there's nowhere to turn except for God. But God had not abandoned Joseph. He had time to think about his past. I wasn't really the best brother. God was changing Joseph into the man he needed him to be. Joseph changes. Finally, the Pharaoh has a dream, and Joseph has a gift for interpreting such dreams. The Pharaoh asks him, "Can you interpret my dream?" And Joseph says, "I can't, but God can." Total flip in how he views life. I can't, but God can. I'm not the center. The same gift, but now it's a different man using it. He humbly uses his gift to save others because he can tell them about the drought that's coming and have plans to feed the people. Thousands of people survive. His dreams weren't about him being worshipped. They were about him being a gift to others, saving others. Looking back, Joseph can see God's hand throughout his years. And later, when there's a drought and his family is forced to come to Egypt, his brothers come, and they have to face the one that they almost killed and sold into slavery. Joseph, who was a slave before, and at first they didn't recognize him, but Joseph recognized them. When they realize who it is, they think Joseph will kill them. He has all the power. He is the second in charge in Egypt, the virtual one who does the ruling. And he tells them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good, to save many lives." And so he, because of the plan, the way they stored up food, the Egyptians survived the famine and his family also. This is that Romans verse in action. God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God. We can see this in our own lives. If you look back over your life, you can see times when God used adversity to shape and mold you. I think back to having cancer. God didn't give up on me. Instead, he kept that promise, and I ended up becoming a prostate ambassador and speaking to groups and having a support group for people who had prostate cancer. And that's the story of many people, right? Many famous, a lot of those runs are because someone had sickness in their family, those large ways that they give money to various sicknesses come out of some suffering in their own life. God has brought good out of it. It's not necessarily something I wanted or enjoyed at the time. Or also, in my case, there'd been domestic violence, and I finally had to learn how to stand up for myself, not to say yes all the time. So I grew through the cancer, and like many other people, because God causes everything to work together for good to those who love God. I can look back even farther. Back in the 70s, I was in America, and my Lutheran church, called the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, was having a big fight, which made me really uncomfortable, and I ended up coming to Australia. I was a real city person, so I served in Melbourne and in Darwin. In my mind, Darwin was a capital city, like Washington, D.C., where I grew up. Maybe not quite. I was a city person. And then my son had trouble in the tropics. We had to get out, and we ended up going to Freeling, like this tiny village, country village. Still had crank phones, you know, "Hello, Jenny, get me Bill. Oh, Bill's getting a haircut. Ring back in 45 minutes. Yeah, okay. I'd never seen sheep, cows, chickens, etc. And yet I learned to love the country. But if it hadn't been for the fight in America, perhaps I wouldn't have come to Australia. I would have never gone to Freeling. I would have never learned to love the country, have chickens of my own, ducks, etc. I wouldn't have met Colleen, my wife. God was working through circumstances that I couldn't understand at the time. And if you look back at your own life, there are things that you wish had never happened, things that were painful, things that seemed unfair, things that you yourself got wrong and hurt others, like Joseph did. Perhaps looking back, you can also see that God brought out of those experiences that you never had imagined at the time
had helped you grow and change into the person that he wanted you to be. Not everything was good, but God was at work for good. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.